It's great to see all of you here who are eagerly awaiting the word, you know, maybe the, I don't know if he's the heavyweight champion of the world, but he's definitely among the champions. I just don't know what weight Joy has, you know, Joy kind of floats, you know, so, but he's a champion of joy, and he's come from all the way around the world, first in Asia, then in Africa, and just arriving in Pennsylvania this afternoon, and he's ready to bring you the joy of heaven. Could you stand and welcome George and Benov? You're wrestling the powers of darkness, and they're losing.
Yay, champions. The joy of the Lord makes you strong. Come on, how many want to be strong? And how many want to go stronger tonight home? That's it. Woo! Wow! Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Yay, Lord! Lord, we welcome you. Lord, you are welcome, but we just want to say it. Say, welcome, Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? Imagine Jesus is right here next to Chandi, right here. Jesus Christ. Just picture it for a second. Exactly. That's what I'm going to do. I'm jumping on him. You know, I'm just going to get as close, embarrassingly close, because I got to get close to you. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. John the disciple showed me, you know. He's not sitting around. He is sitting on Jesus. He's leaning on Jesus. Wow. So imagine this. Jesus is right here, sitting next to Chandi. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm diving. I'm just going to... Sorry, Chandi. I'm diving in, man. I'm diving in. But yet, Jesus says, it's better for me to go. What? Don't go, Jesus. Like, please, what are you talking about, Jesus? He goes, listen to me, it's better for me to go. When I go, I'll send the better than me Holy Spirit. Not better in other way. Other ways, he can be with Chandi and with me and with you and Dave and anybody that wants him. He can be just like John, the disciple, the beloved, on his lap, on his... You know, and not even just on him, but in him. Come on. That's the better. That's why it's better for Jesus to go. I mean, what else can be? Can you imagine? So we have the better than what the disciples had. We have the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus Christ in getting inside us. Whoa. Come on, try to picture now. Okay, Jesus here. We all like jumping on him, and he's going, all right, okay, but I got something better. I'm going to leave the room right now, and as I'm leaving, someone else is coming for all of you in the same time. Come on. And I just flew from Johannesburg last night via Ghana, if you can imagine. And, you know, and he will be there as well. And before that, I was in East India, you know, with a beautiful orphanage that are no longer orphaned. They're like sons and daughters growing. He's there with them, each one of them now. So they're not orphans, but they feel like, you know. And we just welcome about 9 months ago, 10 more children who were former temple prostitutes. Get this. I can't quite show it right now, the image, because we're not sure how much we could expose their faces. But the sweetest 10 kids, they're all around 16, 17, rescued from temple prostitution, which they've been submitted by their own mothers since they were little children. And that's just kind of a traditional thing, religious thing. But praise the Lord. And you should see him totally set free. You'll never tell. that they spent 10 years or 15, 12 years of their life in the hands of perversion. Never can tell the Lord completely heal them, restore them. And they're just the sweetest. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is every one of them. That's the better, that he could be everywhere with the believers. Come on, we're 2.2 billion Christians, at least. That's according to the record, you know. 1.2 billion Catholic, and many of them, I don't know if everybody, but many of them believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord. And then almost all of them, I believe, that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, that's pretty close to being a Christian, you know. And amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Jesus is Savior. That's good for me. I accept you're my brother. Amen. Come on. So the potential, we have two, and we're about a billion. Not charismatic, but the Protestants. We're part of the kind of a weird side of the charismatic, like the Protestant. We're Protestant, but a little different, you know. But we're still counting. We're Protestant. We're the different ones, you know. But we all believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And that's what counts. So imagine with all those 2 billion something, imagine if we all wake up that Jesus is inside us. Yeah. Just that's the revival for me. Just give me a revelation. Let's you know, come on, let's pray for that right now. So, Father, right now, we're just looking at the whole globe, and I just circled the globe. Huge, but Lord, you are through the Holy Spirit, everywhere there's a believers. Not just around them, but inside every Jesus Christ believer, born again believer. And so we're just calling in from the Catholics and the Protestants and from all of the Eastern Orthodox, we're calling them out to receive the revelation, to wake up to the revelation, Jesus is inside us. He paid the full price. That the Holy Spirit, that God on earth can be inside each one of us simultaneously. And so we just release that's the biggest miracle of all. The miracle of all miracles that you've made a way to be inside us. Wow, God inside human bodies and minds and hearts just like you were in Jesus. The body of Jesus was God inside human. So we just bless the body of Christ right now. For starting from this group right now that we are, throughout the whole city, Lord, across the river, you know, and in Christ's community and all our friends throughout the city, Lord. In downtown, in the churches that are in the downtown area, Lord. Lord, we just release the revelation that you are inside the believers. And Father, like, just spread it through the state, Lord. Let us awaken, yeah, that Jesus has paid the price to be inside us. And Lord, we just know that the miracles will just explode. Even tonight, right now, I know people have come here that have needed a miracle. And so we just release those miracles right now. Starting this moment, in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Whoa. I am a miracle right now standing before you because I was not only exhausted from coming from 12 time zones, but also... it's exactly the other side. India, East India is exactly the other side down there, you know. And so just traveling through that many time zone gets you going. But also I got some sort of a bug of some sort. I'm not sure what it is. So anyways, I was like, Chandi and I, we didn't know, but we were in the same time in Addis Ababa, right? And I'm just praying that I can go from gate one to the gate, whatever I'm supposed to go, focus, because I was like spinning. And the moment I got in Johannesburg, Pastor looked at me as I was trying to push my cart with the two bags. And oh, boy, George needs help, you know. And I'm like, yes, I need help. So So by the time I got to his house and I got a little food and took a shower, I was like, nothing has ever happened. It's like, I was like, I mean, and you know, I was reminded by the Lord that I have never had to cancel a meeting in 40 years. I mean, Paul, we're talking about thousands of meetings, because in the last 25 years since renewal, it's been like every day. It's not like Wednesdays and Sundays is great, but every day. And I'm just starting with this because tonight it will be a night of miracles. Amen. Tonight is a night of miracles. If you have come here with a big need, miraculously, God will meet it. And the one need that I have is to, you know, be able to fulfill what God called me. And if you could believe it, and young preachers, I want to encourage you to believe this, that you do not have to cancel single appointment. You are in a divine appointment. Every single person here is called by God. You have destiny. You have the days are numbered, and they're filled in God's calendar for you. They're filled with miracles, demonstration of Christ in you. It's filled. Your calendar is booked. You are booked. And I don't know whether you feel it or not, but you are booked. You have a divine calendar on you. And steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. When God is in you, nobody can stop him. When God is in you, you become unstoppable by virtue of him, Christ, who is greater than anything else. Storms, you know, I have not walked on water, but I imagine even that will happen if need be. But I have never, because of storms, I mean, imagine the storms that you face around the world constantly. I've gone through any storm, and somehow I make it. They say, cancel the flight. I says, no way. I'm not canceling. You don't get it. I have appointment. I when I was a young Christian, I read it. Brand new Christian. I'm saved, fresh from communism. I don't know anything. And then I meet Jesus, supernatural, get saved. And then I read a little book by George Mueller. I don't know if you... George Mueller, a British guy who had faith, amazing faith. He had an orphanage, and he believed supernaturally for food, you know, through prayer. He was a man of prayer, man connected with the Lord. And one day there was absolutely nothing, no milk, and except a little cereal. So he put the cereal, and he's going to pray the Lord and thank God for this. I mean, we're talking about 50 or 60 children. That's a lot of milk. And he prayed like there is a milk there. And just as he said, amen, knock on the door. And there's a milk cart, milk guy who says, hey, I'm just delivering milk, but my wheels of my cart broke. Could you use some milk? A huge cart of milk. Yes, we can use some milk. But the tension, you know, that, oh, no, they're not going to have breakfast today is, you know, yet you step in faith and thank God and boom, you know. So that was like, wow. And then little did I know that 40 years later, or 30 years later, actually, I'd be having orphanages and believing for supernatural things. Little did I know, but it's just a little testimony impresses you as a young believer. Then the next thing he did, he was going to a place that he preaches and with a boat somewhere. And suddenly the boat stopped. So he's down in the bottom praying and things. So he says, why are we stopping? So he gets up and says, why are we stopping? And the captain goes, well, do you see anything but fog? We can't move with this fog because we don't know. We don't want to run into any cliffs or something. We're not moving. He goes, listen, I'm a man of God, and I have an appointment. Today, I cannot be late because I've never had to, you know, I've never been late. And so we got to get going. And the captain goes, I don't know what kind of a man are you, but we're not moving as long as there's fog. Nowhere. So forget it. And George Miller goes down and says, Lord, this is ridiculous. I can't be late. So please do something. As soon as he said that, vroom, the engine started. And he went up. Bright day. Full, no fog. Completely fog's gone. Come on, somebody. And I'm like, whoa, Jesus. This is radical. Like, I didn't know that you could do stuff like that. But it went into my spirit from this little book. And later on, I started to be a leader and I had a band called Silver, and we went in the underground church in Poland and did a whole tour back in the 80s, 84 or 5 like that. And we're with a Dutch band and a Dutch equipment truck, like a big Mercedes with Dutch equipment and stuff like that. And so we're driving through this mountain approaching Krakow, and all of a sudden, the truck is stopped and slid into the ditch. And I'm going, what's going on? So we back up, and they would come and says, what's happening? He says, well, the rear axle, it went off, and we're in the ditch, and that's it. And I'm going, oh, no. Well, we're not going to make it tonight because this is just impossible, you know. And the Lord spoke to me just as I'm, like, looking at this. It's around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we have still 2-3 hours, so no way. And the Lord says, in the 10 years, I've been 10 years Christian, says, have you not made it once in all the 10 years that you've been with me and being part of everything you're doing and moving around? I go, wow, no, I guess I can't remember. He says, why would you think that you're not going to make it today? I go, why? Because it's Poland, Lord. This is the mountain. We have a Mercedes truck. And I'm just going off on all the reasons why we're not going to make it. As soon as I'm talking and complaining like this, and, you know, flustered and frustrated, a Jeep with 2 Polish mechanics show up from nowhere, like grease monkey, completely covered with, you know, and without saying anything, they just go down in the ditch and beginning to looking and talking to one another. And I'm going, what are they doing, you know? And without any proper tools, I could see just as a hammer and ropes, and they start roping that axle and jerking with the Jeep and hammering and jerking, whoop, and they fixed it. And I'm going, what? And before I can say, who are you, like, thank you or anything, they disappeared. Disappeared. That Jeep disappeared. Polish mechanical Jeep, angels. I mean, disappeared. Completely. Whoa. And I'm like, what? And we made it. 20 years later, we're in Congo with Roland Baker, actually, into an interior of Congo, really deep. It was a scary trip anyways. But we had 3 Jeeps, a truck with food and 2 of the Jeeps. And the front Jeep, it's like broke or something. And so we piled the people from that Jeep into the back of our Jeep, and we were loaded. And there is hardly any roads. And then we get stuck in the mud and the spinning. There's no tire thing. There's no tracks. Thank you. And I'm going, this is not happening. Because every so many minutes we stop and spinning, and we're stuck in the mud. We overloaded and no traction on the tires. So I'm complaining. And these, the drivers don't have any tools to dig the dirt. They're just with hands. And I'm going, what is wrong with this crew I mean, if we have known that tires would be bald, we'd have bought gladly new tires, because this we gotta make it tonight. Well, nobody said nothing. It's a spinning. I said, they don't even have shovels. How unprepared, you know? So I'm complaining like that. And Roland told me that the year before this happened the same thing, and they were stuck in the night sleeping inside because there was mosquitoes as big as helicopters. And they had to sleep with... And gorillas. So he's scaring me with that. And I'm going, I'm not stuck with helicopter mosquitoes and gorillas beating on my windows all night. No way. It's very hot. And it's just like, so, but it's not happening. Every 15, 20 minutes, we stop for another half an hour. And it's like getting dark. And I'm going, oh, boy. Lord, I know I've always made it. And that's a great testimony. I've been saying it for 20 years for your honor and glory. But now, it doesn't look good at all. But I says, Lord, it's okay. Because only once. Like, for the whole journey, I've been, you know. But everybody will understand, except Congo, interior. And nobody will mind, you know. So I'm like negotiating how is I'm getting okay with that to break this record of never have to cancel it, never. And so I'm kind of getting used to the idea. I'm kind of talking the Lord into it. It's going to be okay, actually, you know. And then the Lord says to me, stop whining and get a stick and help the guys dig. Because we're stuck in the mud. And I'm going, a stick? What would I do with a stick? This, we need shovels. We need things. And he says, get a stick and start hoping. So I'm like, you know, I'm like, what would I do? And I have no idea how we made it that night. We made it late. But George Mueller was a British. I'm Bulgarian. I'm okay with being late a little bit. So... In our culture, if you're an hour late, you're not late. Like, if you're over an hour late, you're getting late, you know. But so we were, like, couple hours late. But we brought 11,000 meals for this community who have walked 2 weeks, some people as far as 2 weeks to be at that conference, walking. One way, you know. I mean, we arrived late, but, boy, they were like a festival. They didn't sleep all night. There was food. There was party. Miracles happened. I have glorious pictures, by the way, from that. You know, and Roland was a great photographer. So with that, I just want to introduce the idea that God is a God of miracles tonight. And you may not have this kind of a record necessarily, but God is inspiring all of us to believe and to agree that he's a God of miracles, and he plans for you, and he plans for you to never to miss his appointments. Yeah. That you're unstoppable, and to stay connected with him. And even when you complain sometimes, like I did, he will help you, stop you whining. You know, I'll tell you one more story that it was kind of a whining story. I had finished with this group that I was part of. And by the way, Yana is here with Amelie and Rue, my daughter, with my two grandchildren. And so happy. And she was, of course, born into this road ministry. Poor thing, we raised her school-wise on the road. It was the Holy Spirit, I got to tell you, because I have no clue about math and things like that. But that's how she got to meet her Mr. Special, because I couldn't help her with math. But we're going from church to church, and in this particular church in the north, there was a young kid. He was a drummer at the time. He could hardly see him underneath the drums because he's smaller than the drums, but he was playing. And he was expert in math. So I hired him to like teach her a little bit, to mentor her, help, huh? To tutor her, right? And guess what? That becomes my son-in-law now. So even when you're no good at something, God will use it for great purposes. Amen. Oh, boy. Chris was beside the tutoring and stuff, but he also started coming to a mission trip. I mean, almost every mission trip, this young man, I go, wow, he's a missionary. This guy has a vision for, you know, soul winning and stuff. And finally, on one of the mission trips, he said, can I marry your daughter? And I go, is that the motive you've been coming for all this? I mean, sure, you can marry her, but I thought you had this aspiration, this great man of missionary. He was after her the whole time. They got engaged in Istanbul. Yeah. Yeah, Turkey. So, we finished this group. And, you know, when you're not part of a famous group, you kind of become nobody for a while. Meaning, like, nobody knows you anymore because they know this big band you were part of. And so I reached kind of a bottom for a while and restarted all over again. And now I'm like 35 at that time or something like that. And so I'm getting like midlife crisis or whatever they call these things. And I'm feeling like, oh no, you know, my best years are gone. I'm 35, close to 37 or something, close to 40 and 35 or something like that. Feels like 50 or something, but I'm like, I've lost my, you know, and now I'm starting all over. And I'm like really whining, man. I'm like depressed, you know. And the Lord speaks to me. And he says, okay, so I've been 10 years with this band and I've given my life. And I mean, we did great things like Music Machine, created the Music Machine, which is the first children tape for children at the time. Like I'm talking about 70s. There was nothing for the body of Christ other than hymnal books. So we're part of the Jesus music, the Jesus starting, the like love song, Larry Norman, then second chapter of Acts, you know, Silver Wind, Keith Green. I mean, this was the beginning, you know, the first 10 years of Christian music. I mean, there was never drums in no church. Nowhere. If you want drums, you have to bring it. There's no drums nowhere. I mean, how many remember that? Jesus festivals, remember that? The 70s? And I mean, that was the beginning of Christian music. Anyways, so what was I talking about? It's just like, okay, the Music Machine. So, yeah, and then so when, of course, we've Bullfrogs and Butterfly, we created some great things. So it's not like I haven't done, but it was finished that season, and now I don't have what to do now. And the Lord says, okay, you'd think 10 years like you have, like, lost because it's gone, right? But really, you didn't. You served me. And even though it was someone else's vineyard, so to speak, you still served me. But, I, you know, you are down and depressed right now because you're starting all over. What if I take those 10 years off of your body? I mean, this was like before the supernatural life and things like that. I was not even raised to believe for healing. The only way I begin to healing is because when Yana was born, she nearly died. My wife nearly died. It was a very serious situation. And my wife was losing her body blood 2.5 times. I mean, with that much cold, new blood infusion, new blood is cold. Huh? 26 pints of blood. Wow, Anne, how'd you know that? That's amazing. Wow. Colombo invest. Yeah, so much. And you know, fresh blood is cold because from the refrigerators. And your body can no longer connect, your organs cannot connect with that quick of a cold blood. So they're shutting down. So her organs are shutting down. And me and my pastor friend are praying a whining prayers. Oh, God, can you do something, please? Would you please? This is terrible. Oh, God, help, do something, you know? And the Lord spoke to both of us simultaneously, like in his belly and in my belly were two speakers. And we heard it from each other. He says, stop whining and take authority of the spirit of death now. It's like we heard the Lord's stereo. And we just got startled because we didn't, not that God doesn't heal, but we don't know when and how. And we were not sure at all. That's the way we were brought up spiritually. We weren't sure about that. And at that moment, they're whisking my wife into the emergency to start putting her to breathing machines and all because her body is shutting down. And I never forget, the seconds after the Lord spoke to us, she's coming out pale, white, and just lifeless. And we lay hands together and we commanded the spirit of death to go now. And look at them today, both of them alive and beautiful and kicking. And look at the next generation. Just in one revelation. And we weren't even prepared to believe it. But yet the Lord spoke to us and shook us out of that whiny, unsure, you know, situation, mindset. And started healing ministry from that point on. Now I pray for her. Yana never knew the smell of hospital in her entire childhood. Never been taken because there was no reason. Because somehow when dad and mom pray, it's always happened. Healing. Natural. Amen. No stress. His spirit of faith for healing just came and no effort. God's effort. Not on our effort. God's effort. You know, it was just one of those, without much teaching, we just got the revelation. And so that's how that, but when it came to this depression of my best years are gone, and then the Lord spoke to me and says, what if I take the 10 years off of your body? So now you have a body just like you were 26. I was 20, 36. Now you're back to 26 just before you got married. So you have that kind of a body. But you've learned some good things. So your mind has kept, you know, got some wisdom and stuff, except your body is back to 10 years. And he's speaking to me, and I'm looking in my mirror, and he's speaking to me. He says, so would you stop whining if I do that? And I'm going, can you, like, okay, I guess so. I mean, like, because, and I'm getting shocked because I've never thought that he could do something like that. Although it's in the Bible, later I discover it. You know, in Joshua and Caleb's case, he froze their bodies. They did not change like the other people who were unbelievers and stuff, who refused to follow because of fear of the enemy and this and that. But because Joshua and Caleb was childlike, ready to go, but yet they could not go into their destiny, so to speak, because they can't go alone. They're leaders of a whole group of million, 2 million, whatever. And so because of that, God kept their body normal wear and tear on a circle of some sort, that so much so that Caleb, when they finally arrived in the promised land and started invading, Caleb was helping the other tribes. And finally, Caleb is now 85. And he says, now, Joshua, it's my turn. I've helped you get the other tribes. Now let me take my mountain. Remember that mountain you told me I'm going to get? All right. No. And you know what? I don't even need help from the other tribes. I got my path. I got my thing going. And I personally am swinging the sword at 85 like I'm 40. Because God kept my strength. All these years, I was ready to take the mountain then. So are you, Joshua and Caleb, were ready. But because of unbelief, they start circling. But in that circling in the desert, their bodies didn't get old like you should have been. At 85, you're not swinging a sword. You're having probably a rod of wisdom or something. But not a sword. You know, swords are heavy. Probably 20-pound swords or whoever. That's a heavy weapon. It's not for an 85-year-old man. But not for Caleb. Because they were in touch with the Lord. They were falling with the Lord. And he kept... Do you know that even their shoes didn't wear? Do you understand that? How many read the story? Okay, the rest of you are wondering, I'm making this up. No, this is true story. God stopped. He stopped at one point, stopped the sun and the moon for them. Come on. God, and I don't know about you, but I believe every bit of it. And I want to be just like them. Because they're mentors for me. These guys. They're my mentors. I may look a little crazy, but I'm stuck with crazy mentors. Jesus being the chief. To go on a cross and to trade his divinity and give up all his for to die for us. But it was for the joy set ahead. So when we're talking about joy, it's not a human emotional thing only. Yes, it touches emotion. But it's the joy of the spirit, the joy of a fellowship, the joy of creating sons and daughters, the joy of becoming a rich dad, a rich mom in the Lord, the joy of having a legacy. Come on. This church is a church of legacy. You know, Charles and Anne, when they were coming, the Lord showed them the destiny. For those of you who don't know the story, the Lord showed this auditorium exactly as it looks today to Anne as they were driving. And for your information, this building was not even built. But she saw this exactly what we're sitting on. She saw it in the vision the Lord told her. It didn't happen right away because the building wasn't even built. They were in a casket factory. They were in a rough situation. Anything but nice building like that for at least 10 years or 15, 20 years. And then they built this building and then they went bankruptcy. And the real estate agent brought him just to check it out. And when Anne came inside, she saw this and she said, "That's the place I saw 20 years ago. The building was not built at all." So God is giving you destiny, vision. Come on. And look at this now. Filled with the body of Christ and the young generation is rising. Mighty men and women of God. Come on. Woo, come on, David. Ho! Oh, that's worth the casket factory experience and all that. Because we're unstoppable because there's a vision. There is future. Caleb and Joshua, let's go. Forget these giants. They're like peanuts in God's eyes. They're going to be our peanut butter sandwiches tomorrow. I added the peanut butter because I kind of like it. But it says there'll be bread. There'll be bread for us. So in other words, the bigger the obstacles, the bigger the breakfast, the bigger the festival, the bigger the feast, because we're going to celebrate God's overwhelming, overcoming power over any obstacles. So this is the God that is leading us tonight. He led these guys all the way from the West Coast in a vision. It didn't happen right away, but it did happen. And the future is so bright. And there's more strength to you guys, personally. More strength and energy to enjoy the fruit of what you've led. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And everyone in the baby boomer generation, listen, don't plan at all of retirement. Please, Do yourself a favor. Don't plan retirement. Plan some glorious new position, doing new things. Retire maybe from the job that you'll be working. But God is refiring us and giving us the best new positions, because there's no retirement in that sense in the heavenly realm. And God wants to bring the heavenly realm here on earth. And we're leading these guys. We're leading these guys. You know, it's like the passing of the baton is not like this, like, okay, you've been running and you're exhausted. Chandi, here it is, better. You can do, hopefully you can do better. Go. That's not the look of passing the baton. In fact, that stretch between your journey and their journey is exhilaration. So the very fastest, the very best is happening, because so they can get the speed and not like, I hope you do better, but whoa. And so they have to almost like a catch up, because you're running from the long and you got the force, you got the inertia, and you're cruising, and they're starting from, they're only from one position. So they have to run with us for a while until they catch up speed. So our speed is so important to be maximum for them to start with the very fastest. You know what I mean? Rather than go at, so that's the rally, that's the passing of baton, that kind of a running. It's got that kind of a thing. And that's how it is in the Lord. We are in that season of passing the batons. And so especially experience and expect exhilaration, guys, baby boomers, exhilaration. Supernaturally, it's a supernatural race. We're not running our own race. This is the race for God. Amen. And He's backing. He's the wind behind your wings. Woo! And we need every one of you to be running with Jesus. Amen. I'm not talking about sprinting necessarily, but I'm talking about the race, the spiritual race. The spiritual race, being with the Lord. He's the coach. He's all, come on, you can do it. Come on, I'm with you. Come on, I'm the wind beneath your wing. I am the greatest. I am the resurrection. Listen, we don't have just a little encouraging spirit in us. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The same spirit that Jesus himself could not raise himself. He truly died. And the same spirit of The resurrection spirit is inside you to resurrect you at any moment, at any time, for anything, to get you out of the dead end, out of the ditch, out of the tiredness, and out of the whatever, everything that can humanly possible. The same spirit is to resurrect you, raise you, in other words, to catapult you from. And so tonight, this is going to happen to many of us who need a miracle. And maybe you need a, let's say, like the first miracle that Jesus did, the turning the water into wine. You know, and you go, well, what kind of a miracle is this? Like, why bother Jesus with, okay, you ran out of wine, so what? Big deal. I mean, that's tough, okay? You should have planned better. Because it's not that, you know. But yet, to the situation, to you, it's embarrassment. Okay, and so how many of you can understand that you're in an embarrassing situation because you ran out of money or ran out of time or ran out of whatever? You know, how many can relate to this? We all have gone through that, and maybe you're right in the middle of something like that. What Jesus is mindful for, what is could be luxury considered. Okay, healing the sick, but wine, come on. You know, you're wasting the Savior's energy. Don't distract him. He's about to do something bigger. Well, it is very big for the wedding. Okay, so whatever the situation, this is a financial situation. This is, and you're running out of money for the house payment or something. This is a situation. God wants to provide that miracle tonight. He wants to just do this for you. Come on. So starting with that miracle, to all the healings, and in my translation says he healed them all. He healed them one and all once he started the physical miracles. You know, he healed them all. And not just, you know, he says, just second in Matthew, at the end of chapter 4, it says, from then on, he went into all over Galilee. He used synagogues for meeting places and taught people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme. That beginning right now, that they were under God's government. Not someday. We are under God's government. Amen. And also heal people of their diseases, of the bad and of the bad effects of their bad lives. So it's not just the disease, but also the consequences of these things. Because we're born in this sinful condition, we harmed ourselves in so many ways, you know, and that you know, our bodies are destroyed in so many ways. Our minds are crippled by so many of these patterns. But yet the Lord healed them all. And if the effects even. Word got around the entire Roman province of Syria. People brought anybody with any ailment, whatever, mental, emotional, or physical. Mental, emotional, or physical. Jesus healed them one and all. Woo! Mental, emotional, physical. Boom! You heal like this. Yeah, the world prescribes, you know, processing and you know, psychologies and all that. I'm okay with anybody. In fact, if I was not a preacher, I probably would be a psychologist. Because I love to listen to people. I'm compassionate. I enjoy stories. For $300 an hour, go ahead and tell me all their stories. Like, no rush. Give me details. I mean, I'm serious. This is a good business. And they're helping people. Absolutely. But Jesus he's a creator. And he's a resurrection type creator. Because the same spirit was on him. And he just... boom and boom, they were someone touching them. Foop, they got the healing virtue. Others he touched, others he prayed, and whatever the cases may be. He healed them one and all. Only in his own town, because of unbelief, they go, "Who? This is the carpenter boy." You know, so they were not, you know, accepting. But everywhere else, you know, he healed them one and all. 100% all the time. There's no questioning, like, God, are you going to or what? No, 100% my will. I'm a healer. I'm healing. I am healing. Everybody comes in contact with God is a healing God. He's a healer. He's healing himself. His name is healer, healing. You know, his nature is healing. He cannot hold any sickness. No sickness. He cannot be associated with anything but healing. He is a God of 100% healing. Emotional. Say emotional. Mental. Physical. I would say financial too. Because in a Canaan situation, they ran out of, maybe even they had money, but not enough wine. So they had to go buy somewhere. It's too late. So he did a provision that even if they had the money, they couldn't buy it. So he just met that need. Yeah. In the cases of feeding the thousands, he got the food from little fishes and little multiplied. He multiplied. I mean, that's the God is inside you. Amen. And I want to connect you tonight before we're going to start the prayers and we're going to finish with ministering. I just want to connect you with him because we do not do the healing. We are believing for the healing that Jesus is going to do for you. Amen. We're just simply in agreeing. So I want you to agree. First of all, for whatever the situation, it is the most ridiculous little thing, but it's a big thing for you. Yeah. And so any need and every need, he wants to meet tonight. For his glory. Yeah. For his glory. Not even for your glory, not even just, of course, he's compassionate and wants to help you. But it's for his glory. He's a glorious God. And miracles are something that is like, he can't do it. But God is a God of these supernatural miracles. And by the way, we have students from our school. Can you, all the students and alumni from the school, stand up, please? We have the most amazing school here. Look at them. Yay. We bless you. So they're going to be front row here ministering for you, along with the ministering staff of the church. But we just, this is why we're having a school. Because the God of all things are possible have wrecked us, have changed us. It even changed my physical, my own physical body is changed by the Lord. Like I was at the Sri Lanka, and I went to, my friends have a health kind of a hospital, not hospital, but health center. So I went to get measured and things like that. And the lady goes, you have a 50 years old body. According to the specs of the machine that I was hooked up, I'm 70. But yet I have 50 years old body. And I'm going, I know why. Because Jesus just didn't mind my whining and talked me into stopping the whining by saying, I'll reverse 10 years of your life. Come on. I'm not mad. I did not believe in anything supernatural at the time. The first thing was the healing. That's about all I believed. I didn't understand even the supernatural things that God can do. He reverses time. He adds time when you need it. If you're getting old and dying, he'll stop the death and add more years to your life. He's done this in the Bible. It's not like we're going to ask him to do something new. He's a God of miracles. He's been with humans all this time. Humans like you and me. Except now we have Jesus. And the same resurrection spirit that they didn't even have. They stepped in faith, but they didn't even quite have what you and I have. Joshua and Caleb did not have the Holy Spirit inside like you do. So how much more? Greater than Daniel. Greater than prophetic than the Daniel. With the insights. Some of you need to unlock some mysteries in your job, in your wherever you work, your company. My son-in-law is an amazing engineer, and he had some challenge with some sort of a Lyme disease and stuff. For a while, he couldn't work, but the company, it's a German company in town, was so impressed with him that kept his position. I mean, it was months and months and a year and a longer, and they said, that's okay. You heal up. We are keeping your position open. So when you come back. And the reason they even hired him wasn't they needed a particular thing for him, but through the interview, the way he talked about his family, his wife, and they hired him on the basis of that. Because that's an old school company, German company, who really understands the healthy company needs healthy employees with healthy families. And you know, and they really track deep stuff like that. And they hired him on basis of that, and then eventually he became very valuable for them. But even through this long season, close to 2 years unable to function, they kept his position. And you know what? During the season when he couldn't even go to work, he kept thinking about a problem that the company had. Unresolved problem. I mean, the company is a powerful German company, but it functions on inventions. This is how they stay ahead. And my son-in-law has an inventive mind. And while he could not even work, practically laying in the couch and thinking, and he figured this problem that the company had. Come on, somebody. God gave him wisdom. Somebody's like that tonight. You're facing a situation that's going to exhilarate you, your business, or your company you're working with. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. You need that tonight. God will do it. Amen. So that's the reason why even having a school. I mean, we're part of this amazing body here, and we're all together believing for God to do supernatural, and we're demonstrating through our lives the greatness of our God. And I tell you, the best is yet to come. I personally believe that this situation that the city has been for a while is going to change. we're going to have, Harrisburg is going to become the most sought out place to come. The most sought out place to come. The most attractive city because of the attractiveness of the Lord in us. So just get ready to shine the attractiveness of Jesus who chose you inside to show up inside you. Get ready. Say, I'm ready, Lord. So tonight, are you ready? Okay, and with suddenly I'm programming your mind a little bit to join the school. You know, I'm not saying it verbally. I'm just kind of subtly, because I really believe that the school, that's the reason the school needs to continue to spread that supernatural aspect of the Lord. First is the identity, how beautiful you are. You created you brand new. Nobody can touch that. That's the gift from God. Your spirit is completely new. And now we're trying to get your soul to catch up. Your mind to catch up with who you really are. In Christ. Co-heir with Him. How did you become co-heir? Because you were co-crucified with Him. That old spirit, gone, finito, bye-bye. Whatever you used to be, it's gone. Then that stuff was buried. And when He was raised, a new spirit was raised in you. Woo! A new you. And where is this new you? Where is this new spirit of yours? In heaven, seated with Jesus. We're by location. What do you call it? We have two addresses. Earthly address, PA, whatever, and heaven. Co-seated with Him. Co-seated. Come on. With Christ, not in outskirts of heaven, but seated in the center of heaven. With Him. John was leaning, trying to get as close. Now, He's brought you inside Himself and seated you where Christ is. There's where we are. On earth, as Christ is, so we are here. Same thing. As He is, so are we here. Not in heaven someday. We are already in heaven today. I just want you to see yourself that. That's what we teach in the school. The moment you walk in, worship, and then bodies are all over because it gets overwhelming. And sometimes takes 10, 15 minutes sometimes to get them to the seat to start the lecture. But we're not kicking and saying, hey, okay. It's like we understand we get overwhelmed. Because that's how your soul is going to start changing. Because we're connecting with the Spirit. And then you start to open to learn better. Because we're just going to help renew your mind. So you could get exactly, agree with who you really, really, really are. Not what your brain says from the past. Sometimes we have to tell our minds to shut up and stop bothering with us and agree with the truth of what Jesus says we are. Come on, somebody. Come on, we have to shut up. Stop giving me old Matt. You know, I receive who I am. And that's how we become His co-heirs, because the same authority. Amen. I didn't even ask about time. It's time, huh? Okay, so we're going to dismiss. I just want to show that quick 5 seconds, not even 5 minutes, but 2 minutes video of the school, because I was supposed to do it in the beginning, and I got caught up with the supernatural and the miracle, but I'm getting ready for the miracle. Amen? Okay, so let's play the video. As you're playing the video, the school, come on down, line up, so we can start ministering right after the video. Go ahead, play the video. Students, come on down. Turn it up a little bit.
You'll be worshipers all the days of your lives. You won't just live a life that's a flame, but that you'll set wildfires wherever you go. you won't just burn now, but 20 years later and 30 years and 50 years beyond these moments, that you'll burn for him, that you'll change the whole world and be everything you're born to be. The earth's been groaning for you.
In this school, it actually is a supernatural school of ministry because you can feel the Holy Spirit is supernaturally infusing impartation into the students. You can feel it. And I mean, I minister in a lot of schools, but I mean, the atmosphere here is just amazing. So, I mean, if you're in this area, for sure, you got to sign up for your school. And you know what I love about you and Winnie and your whole team? Is that you've got that childlike faith, like the whole world is like, yeah, let's go take it. And then everyone that goes with you, they get it on them. Joy. That's what the world needs.
If you are a young person and you want to grow deeper in the Lord, probably the most important thing that you can do for your life is rally to a father. Not just a leader, but someone who is actually a father in the faith. Someone you can be like, there's a piece of your life that I know is supposed to, I'm supposed to carry and to walk out. There's been something so I've realized in him. I'm like, Georgian's a father and he carries a piece of what I'm supposed to carry.
Okay, so how many need a miracle tonight? Okay, physical, financial, mental, any kind. We're going to open the altars now for you to come and the prayer team. Plus, we have any of your, the minister team, the church, we're together one family. So go ahead and let's stand up and thank Jesus for what's going to happen. And we were already healed by his stripes, so we're believing for that together. We're not begging him. He's paid the full price. So come and receive your miracle. Tell the students what you need, and we'll come in agreement with you. The ministry team of the church as well, please join us. And then that's it. I mean, we can finish with the exiting fire tunnel if we want to. But let's first take care of people who have need a desperate miracle, okay? All right. Come on down.